WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps
CBS your News Brief. Informed. Israeli military officials defend their attacks on hospitals in Gaza. CBS's Willie James Inman.
Israeli missiles slam northern Gaza. Hamas says the courtyard and obstetrics department of Shifa Hospital were hit, killing one person and wounding several others. Israel claims Hamas uses the hospital complex as a command center.
A dry autumn means wildfires in the south from Texas to Virginia, where the forestry department's Russell Proctor says firefighters have been working long hours on a large one in the southwestern part of the state.
It's hard work. The toll's getting up to us. Long hours, that many days, it's really starting to wear on folks.
The Grammy nominations are out. Here, CBS's Dania Bacchus.
SZA leads the pack with 9 nominations, including Record Song and Album of the Year. Her blockbuster compilation, SOS, only her second album, is also up for Best Progressive R&B Album.
The Grammys air February 4th on CBS. CBS News Brief, I'm Peter King.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. People who plan to run for public office next spring start filling out their paperwork soon. A group focused on education says school board meetings are getting more politically toxic nationwide. Some longtime school board members are leaving, and people who might otherwise run for school board are turned off. Heather Dubois-Borien is with the Wisconsin Public Education Network. She says now is a good time to recruit civic-minded candidates. Governor Evers sounds like he'll sign a bill to let local election clerks start counting absentee ballots the day before Election Day. That's one of several bills on voting the Assembly sent to his desk yesterday. Another bill would enact new rules for indefinitely confined voters. The Assembly also passed a number of proposed constitutional amendments. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The city of Eau Claire is looking for volunteers to help with this year's Clearwater Winter Parade. The 11th iteration of the Winter Parade is set for December 1st, starting on Grand Avenue and traveling down First Avenue to Chippewa Street. It will feature fireworks, a warming shelter, floats from local businesses and organizations, games, and music. The city is looking for parade marshals and crew members to help set up the parade, and interested volunteers can get more information on the city website. The Douglas County Sheriff's Office is asking Northwest Wisconsin residents to be on the lookout for a man that was reported missing in Tennessee in October. 37-year-old Philip Joshua Johnson was reported missing on October 18th, and around November 6th, the vehicle linked to him was found in the Brule River State Forest. Law enforcement officials are searching the park, and anyone with information about the white PT Cruiser with temporary Tennessee plates should contact the Sheriff's Office. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
The delusions of grandeur have come to an end, as has the campaign of former Vice President Mike Pence. You know, people didn't care for him so much. I don't know why. You know, January 6th, they just wanted to hang him at the gallows, Dom.
I mean, at least they knew his name. You know, there's no such thing as bad PR, Crudy.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Bucks lose in Indy. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo scored an incredible 54 points, and yet Milwaukee lost to the Pacers. The final, the Pacers 126, the Bucks 124. Adrian Griffin on watching Giannis at work, shooting 1 point shy of his career high of 55.
You know, it's just awesome to see someone with his length, his size, his footwork. He's going to go down as one of the greatest players to ever play this game.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers have 3 games left in the season, next week against Nebraska, followed by Minnesota, and tomorrow they host Northwestern. Badgers safety, Hunter Wohler.
You know, with the talent we have in the locker room, we haven't been good on Saturdays.
The Packers head to Pittsburgh to face the Steelers. Mike Tomlin has been the Steelers head coach since 2007, a year longer than Matt LaFleur has been in the NFL.
I don't think he's ever had a losing season, which is incredible. He's the model of consistency in this league.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It's what's on tap for the Chippewa Valley.
93.5.
The Tap.
It is going to be colder today, but it's not going to be as windy. Our high today, 39, mostly cloudy with wind out of the northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 28. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 43. We'll get to 53 on Sunday. And it's going to be nice next week. Most of the week, highs will be in the 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
And the other fact that can now be confirmed. Reliable source, Mrs. Crudy. Derek Van Orden's staff will offer you a beer, Miller Lights. At least they're not Bud Light, at 10:30 in the morning. DC time on a Thursday.
DC, tell us, 9:30 Central, Crudy. That's pretty early.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5, The Tap, UK.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct, the second hour coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And we are going right to the lines. We're going to go right to the lines before we start this next subject. And the next subject, of course, is going to be the fake elector investigations. But we're going to start this hour with Joe of Madison. Joe, my friend, thank you for calling. What's in your mind today, Joe?
I'm very interested to find out about the fake electors. But in speaking of fake, I did want to add in some news about our speaker, Mike Johnson. So apparently there's some back and forth about where Mike Johnson might be, because he was supposed to be in Paris today giving a speech for a group called the Worldwide Freedom Initiative. They have his photo there and his name and indicate that he's going to be one of the people that's delivering a speech at this Worldwide Freedom Initiative in Gay Paris. His spokesperson, Raj Shaw, said that he did not attend that to give his speech in Paris. However, he will neither confirm or deny whether Mike gave the speech virtually. No matter, number one, he should be able to confirm whether the guy gave the speech virtually. And if he did, I mean, how many days are we away from a shutdown? 8? And he's spending time on this, giving speeches to people in Paris, to a right-wing group in Paris? I mean, come on. Where's a sense of urgency or a sense of work loyalty, I guess is the best way to say it? Plenty of people in your listening audience have had to work over the weekend or work long hours to get something done. And here is this crew told on Thursday night, hey, head home. You know, we're just going to take the weekend off. And now we find out that may have been so that he goes to Paris, but maybe it looked bad, so he pulled back from that and just delivered his speech virtually. We don't know. And the fact that his spokesperson can't say, no, he didn't attend the speech virtually, I find is extremely provocative and just about what we would expect from Mike Johnson, who is, Mike might be the way the French would say it. Is he here? Is he there? We don't know. So I thought I'd throw that into the mix because we do need to know what's important to the Republicans, and clearly it's not us. Thanks.
Yeah, that's a great call. Great, great research on that one. And let me comment on that just before I go into the fake electors. First of all, he let everybody go for 4 days. You know, we shut down 7 days from now. Today's the 10th, next Friday. And yet on Thursday, he says, take a 4-day weekend. That's just crazy. That is truly crazy. Secondly, what bothers me about what you just said was all of these people are sort of in bed with these international right-wing groups that have no regard for the United States or our Constitution or our democracy. They all seem to love Viktor Orban. I remember Tucker Carlson used to go over there and broadcast from over there, and they'd suck up to him. They suck up to Putin. Remember Ron Johnson and a couple of others actually went there on 4th of July, about 5 years ago, 4th of July, our Independence Day, and sucked up to Putin himself and some Russian oligarchs. And remember something, that was, I think, 2018. And you may say, oh, well, that was before the invasion of Ukraine. And no, it wasn't. They invaded Ukraine in 2014. Crimea was part of Ukraine, and they went and took it over. So when Johnson and the others went over there to hang out with him, he'd already for 4 years been in murdering Ukrainians in Crimea. And this new group I'd never heard of, but some right-wing nut group that wants to meet in Paris. You know, if they care about America, why don't they meet in the United States? They meet in Paris, France. Okay, they meet in Paris, France. And his spokesman says he didn't show up. Well, I wouldn't put it past the spokesman to lie, although it'd be hard, it might be too easy to smoke through that one. But for a spokesman to say, I will neither confirm nor deny that he did it by Zoom, guess what? He did. He did it by Zoom. He had to prepare, and he's spending time on this 7 days before our military, throughout the military, but especially in the Eastern Mediterranean that are in harm's way, may not get paid. You know, this guy is a man of mystery. And I don't like men of mysteries at all. I don't like hanging out with them or even talking to them, but I certainly don't like them two heartbeats from the presidency, and I certainly don't like them as Speaker of the House. Joe, thanks a lot for calling. I really appreciate it. Well, the fake electors. Up until now, fake electors, because remember, they lied about being the electors. They lied about being the electors. That is a felony. They signed documents, some of them under oath, which is perjury. And if you mislead the Senate, that's obstruction. That's a felony. So we see them being prosecuted by the Attorney General of Michigan. We see them being prosecuted by the magnificent District Attorney, Fannie Willis, in Atlanta, Georgia, Fulton County. We see Trump prosecuted by Jack Smith in Washington, D.C., and in Florida on the documents. But there were fake electors in Arizona, fake electors in Nevada, fake electors in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. Now a new one just got added to the list. The Arizona Attorney General has now just launched, just now, a broad investigation into the fake electors that could well culminate, I think it will culminate, in criminal charges. So then we will have Arizona, Michigan, and Georgia. And we'll have the ringleader Trump, who sent out a save the date card, so to speak, saying, come to Washington on January 6th. It's important. It was ceremonial. All 50 of the governors and secretaries of state in this country had certified all of the electoral votes. They'd already done it. They'd already done it. And the majority of them were Republicans. Believe it or not, the majority of the governors and the secretaries of state in this country are Republicans. And they certified them. 60 courts, at least 60 court decisions, turned back the lies about a rigged election, and the U.S. Supreme Court did as well. So why was it important to come out on January 6th? Because there was a ceremonial thing in the Constitution that goes back to 1789 that says the vice president will stand there and receive the electors. They could dress him up in a colonial suit, you know, these like three-cornered hats and kind of velvet knickers that end at your knee, that kind of stuff. Maybe a leather vest, he holds a musket, you know, one of these theme park things. That's what Pence is good for, a theme park thing. So he stands there. They should have dressed him up. Give him a musket. He stands there, and they come up and say, "Milord." Well, no, they wouldn't say that because we beat the British. They'd say, okay, Mr. Vice President, here's the electors from Alabama, and here's the ones from Connecticut, and so forth. Trump used that ceremonial ministerial function to gin up an insurrection that killed people. People died in that insurrection. One was shot. One was trampled to death. Several committed suicide afterwards. Several had neurological damage from being almost stomped to death or had their head squeezed in a door. And the fake electors are being prosecuted for being part of that. And now in Arizona, the investigation started. How about Wisconsin? How about Wisconsin? Arizona has 11 electoral votes. What that means, they have two senators, they have nine congressmen. We have 10 electoral votes. We have two senators and eight congressmen. Each one is assigned an electoral vote. We have a senator who was in on the deal. He had the Michigan state electors in his pocket, Ron Johnson, and it turned out the Wisconsin ones. And he had his chief of staff do an overt act, which was try to get Pence's chief of staff to give it to Pence and have him announce these are the real electors. That's a laydown. That's a laydown. You have Voss and possibly Fitzgerald suggesting or arranging for the room for these conspirators to meet in. In any other criminal prosecution, that's a laydown. That's a laydown. If you provide the facility for the plot, it's a laydown when you knew what was going on. But there is not an investigation in Wisconsin right now. And what I would say, and I think this is a legitimate point, because I think Josh Call is a great attorney general, but you can't drop the ball in this one. Why is the attorney general of Michigan, the attorney general, Chris Mays of Arizona, and a magnificent district attorney, not even attorney general in Georgia, and a great prosecutor in Washington, why are they all doing it? And we're not doing it. They didn't have a senator, none of them, that had fake electors from another state as well as his own, and actually have his chief of staff try to convince Pence to use them as the real electors. That's a lay down fact. Not a lot of mystery to this. At least start an investigation. Start a John Doe. You have subpoena power. You bring all the state electors in, the fake ones. You bring in Ron Johnson. Why not? You remember that Gymnasium Jim G.Y.M. Jordan blew off a congressional subpoena and they didn't do anything about it because he was a congressman. Would Ron Johnson blow off a John Doe subpoena in Wisconsin? He might. And if he does, there are consequences. But that's a little close to home because Wisconsin is a more stand-up state. And I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat, you get a subpoena, you show up. You don't give a one-fingered salute. And you ask them under oath, did you do it? Why'd you do it? It's an investigation. Why did an investigation just open up in Arizona? But there's none here. That's just flat out not right, because quite frankly, it's a matter of right and wrong. These fake electors were fraudulent. It was a criminal offense. It was obstruction. And depending on what they signed a document under oath, and then they sent it into the archives in the Senate saying they were the electors. They were not. Let's get on the stick here. Get on the stick in this state real quick. Real quick. Well, what's coming up? There's kind of an interesting one. There's a new nickname for Donald Trump coming out of Joe Biden. Nickname.
Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together.
Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, Joe Biden, probably his advisors, have come up with a new nickname for Donald Trump. They're quite pleased with it. You know, he has the Dark Brandon meme, which I think is terrific. Dark Brandon with sunglasses. They are now calling Donald Trump Donald Hoover Trump. Donald Hoover Trump, throwback to Herbert Hoover, the guy that crashed the presidency, got us into the Great Depression, and gave rise to Franklin Roosevelt. Donald Hoover Trump. Well, let me tell you something. You know, I think that's fine. That's fine. But I'll tell you something else. That's not Trump's nickname. The nickname that's going around, as you know, on social media is Donnie Dollhands. Trump's nickname is Donnie Dollhands. Think about it. But you can't have Joe Biden saying something crude like Donnie Dollhands. And so he's calling him Donald for Trump. I call him crooked Donald Trump, lying Donald Trump, Putin's poodle. Okay, we're going to the lines. Dwayne of Elkhorn, thank you for calling. Dwayne, what's in your mind today?
Just a quick question, and I'm not a legal expert here, so I wanted to put this on the plate. I've been wondering this for a while. The fake electors had to put their document in an envelope, send it to actually several different places. And also being charged with postal fraud, which is a federal offense.
Yeah, you know, that's a very, very good point. And that had not occurred to me, quite frankly. But what they have done, they did. They put it in the U.S. mails. They put it in the U.S. mails. And here's a, well, little known, probably a fairly well-known fact. If you use the mails to defraud, if you do anything that goes across state lines, but especially in the mails, there are a whole separate set of statutes that make that a felony. And I'll tell you, and this is just a quick anecdote from my own personal experience, because I defended one of these cases. If you catch a fish, you're not going to believe this, it's called the Lacey Act, and it's a violation of a Wisconsin statute. You catch it, you know, out of season, or you catch it somewhere you're not supposed to be catching it, didn't have a license, and you find $150 or something, and they yank your license. That's not a misdemeanor. That's just a municipal ordinance violation in Wisconsin. If you sell that fish in Chicago, it's a 5-year felony because you took it in violation of the laws of Wisconsin and then across state lines. Well, the mail fraud statutes and the use of the mails is somewhat different, but it kind of reinforces the very, very strong idea that Dwayne just put out, that once you use the mails, and with the mails, it can be even mailing it within Wisconsin. You can mail it from Milwaukee to Madison, and it's mail fraud if it's a fraudulent purpose. But anytime you use the mails, because the mails have a nationwide and frankly international impact, or you do something and go across state lines, you are bringing yourselves into a world of hurt. And the truth of the matter is that when it comes to the fake electors, here's what they did. In Pennsylvania, they were sly and sneaky. Why do I say that? Because in Pennsylvania, they had a thing on the form that says, only if a court rules in the future that Trump won this state are we the electors, and here we are. But in other words, the courts had not ruled that Trump won Pennsylvania, because he didn't. He lost it by 70,000 votes. That wasn't even a close one. And they covered themselves, because then the prosecutor comes and goes, hey, listen, I didn't say he won, but if he did win, he wanted us to be the electors. Okay. That isn't what happened in Michigan. That isn't what happened in Wisconsin. That isn't what happened in Georgia. And that isn't what happened in Arizona. These people flat out signed a statement. And if it was under oath, it's also perjury. But even if it wasn't, it was obstruction. And as Duane said, mail fraud. They put it in the U.S. mails. They put it in the U.S. mails. I do not think they sent it UPS. I do not think that they sent it Federal Express. I believe it was in the U.S. mails. And quite frankly, if you try doing that kind of thing using UPS or FedEx, you're going to find some judges who will say that went across state lines, and that is a form of private mail. But if you use the U.S. mails, and again, I don't know how they got it. They didn't send a messenger. But even if they did send a messenger, it's a felony because it is a misrepresentation. It's false. It's obstruction. They sent a document that said, hey, we are the electors. That you can't do that. And yet in Wisconsin, they haven't even been investigated. In Arizona, they have just now started to be investigated. In Georgia and in Michigan, they've been investigated real good because they are also criminally charged. And down in Georgia, with a couple of them, Bonnie Willis is cutting a plea deal with them. They admit, they stipulate that they violated the law. In return, she said they don't have to go to jail, but they've got to be able to testify about how they did it, why they did it, who asked them to do it. They're really going to hurt Mark Meadows and Rudy Giuliani and Donald Trump, I'll tell you that. And one of the absolute ironies of all these, and one of these other fake elector schemes, they talk about a meeting in Wisconsin. Everybody knows Wisconsin was part of this thing. It's not right that Wisconsin somehow, that they go, okay, well, it's okay in Wisconsin. Well, it's okay in Wisconsin to try to get the vice president, to get the vice president to somehow lie and say that Trump won and here are his electors. This goes to the heart of our democracy. This goes to the peaceful transition of power. You know, when George Washington won the presidency, there was no term limit. You know, Franklin Roosevelt, you know, 130 years later, did it for four terms. Washington could have been reelected forever. He was elected and then he ran for reelection. Then a magnificent speech. The speeches were farewell to the army initially, and then two terms is enough. And we're going to have an election. In any other country in the world back then, the king or the strong man or the authoritarian would have cooked it up in the parking lot. But that is not what George Washington did. And now it's reversing itself. And the magnificence of that example is not followed. You can say a lot of things about any country, but if you don't have a peaceful transition of power, if you have to fight a mob every time and see who wins, may the best man or woman win, who has the most soldiers, that's not a democracy. That's not a democracy. A lot more coming up. Weather, news is coming up. A lot of other good stuff coming up. And something on the Megan Wolf impeachment, a new development, and the lines are alive. I'll get back to you right after what's coming up.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Alliant Energy customers can expect their bills to go up about $10 a month on average next year. Wisconsin utility regulators approved a two-year rate hike yesterday, which includes an average $8 a month rate hike in the second year. The main reason for the rate hikes is that Alliant Energy is making a big investment in solar power and battery storage in Wisconsin. Alliant Energy aims to be carbon neutral by 2050. More layoffs at the Universities of Wisconsin. UW-Parkside in Kenosha plans to cut almost 10% of its workforce over the next year. About 50 full-time jobs will be cut through a combination of voluntary separations, layoffs, and attrition. This after similar cuts at UW-Platteville and Oshkosh and to a lesser extent at Green Bay. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Altoona Public Library is hosting a Food for Friends and Fines program, knocking down late fee prices to help people experiencing food insecurity. According to a WQOW report, the event will allow library visitors to drop off non-perishable food items for the community and knock off a dollar per item on a patron's late fees. The donations will be used by the Altoona Compassion Coalition, a volunteer-run nonprofit, to provide meals for people experiencing food insecurity. An effort to initiate impeachment proceedings against Wisconsin Elections Administrator Megan Wolf was rebuffed on Thursday. According to a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel report, Representative Janelle Brantgen of Menominee Falls requested unanimous consent to suspend the rules and introduce a resolution containing 15 articles of impeachment against Wolf, containing accusations that have been debunked. The effort was shut down by Speaker Pro Tempore Kevin Peterson. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The Bucks lose in Indy. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo scored an incredible 54 points, and yet Milwaukee lost to the Pacers. The final, the Pacers 126, the Bucks 124. Adrian Griffin on watching Giannis at work, shooting 1 point shy of his career high of 55.
You know, it's just awesome to see someone with his length, his size, his footwork. He's going to go down as one of the greatest players to ever play this game.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers have 3 games left in the season, next week against Nebraska, followed by Minnesota, and tomorrow they host Northwestern. Badgers safety, Hunter Wohler.
You know, with the talent we have in the locker room, we haven't been good on Saturdays.
The Packers head to Pittsburgh to face the Steelers. Mike Tomlin has been the Steelers head coach since 2007, a year longer than Matt LaFleur has been in the NFL.
I don't think he's ever had a losing season, which is incredible. He's the model of consistency in this league.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low near 30. More clouds around for tomorrow, the wind picking up, a slight chance of an afternoon and evening shower. High mid-40s. A little more sun Sunday, warms up, mid-50s and breezy. Weekend wind gusts could top 30 miles an hour. It's 39 right now.
Earl Ingram.
If all the other things globally aren't enough to give us pause, healthcare premiums rose 8% this year. And so corporations are starting to feel the strain of offering healthcare to their employees, and more of them are abdicating that. What are people to do?
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. On air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com. And on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap. UK.
Welcome back to Matheson Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We'll go right to the lines. Tom and McFarland, my friend, thanks for calling. Tom, what's in your mind today?
Hi, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I was just curious, within the fake elector scheme, I'm noticing that they are giving Mike Pence, they constantly refer to Mike Pence as president of the Senate as opposed to vice president. And I'm wondering, you know, if part of that questioning, if they're trying to give an air of legitimacy and authority that the vice president simply does not have. I mean, there's difference when you say the vice president versus president of the Senate. It conveys a certain level of leadership that is beyond what usually would be ascribed. And if that was their intent, you know, I think that that kind of speaks right to the illegality of what they were doing. Trying to just kind of, you know, snow the electorate. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you put your finger on something. And let me tell you why. It's all sort of smoke and mirrors and funny money, but it is true that the vice president of the United States, the president of the Senate, there is a president pro tem, and Patty Murray is a majority party, and it's usually the one that's the longest in office. Pat Leahy was for a long time, and that does kick in at some point where that individual is in line of succession to the presidency if there's a tragedy of some sort, and the vice president and the Speaker of the House aren't able to serve. But that said, why would you continue, if you were on the other side like that, to continue to refer to Mike Pence as the president of the Senate? And I think you're right. It gives this aura of not only legitimacy, but purpose and some authority. And what people have got to understand is the constitutional provision that the vice president receive the electoral votes is ceremonial. We call it ministerial, which means it's not discretionary. He can't not receive them. And when you have 50 governors and 50 secretaries of state certify them, that's it. And in this case, most of them were, the majority were Republicans. So he can stand there and you could, this is a ceremony. This is not an authority. In other words, you could dress him up like a Minuteman or something at Lexington and Concord and give him like a powder horn to powder his musket. You could sell tickets. You could sell tickets. They, by calling him president of the Senate, are trying to hoodwink people who are not as knowledgeable or don't care that somehow he had authority. He did not have authority. He had a ceremonial role, and that's very, very important to just get out there. If anybody ever tells you, well, he's the president of the Senate, yeah, so what? That and a buck will get me on the bus. Who cares if he's the president of the Senate? He was there as a Minuteman in a costume for people to take pictures of. Go back to the lines. Mark from the SAC, my friend, thank you for calling. Mark, what's in your mind today?
Yeah, to add on here that apparently Kenneth Cheesebrook was already pled guilty. Part of his communications was with Brian Schimming, head of the Republican Party here in the state of Wisconsin, that in, you know, as regards to the fake electors thing. And, you know, that, you know, Bob Spindell, who's on an elections commission, who took an oath to uphold the state's constitution, you know, as part of a member of that commission, violated his oath in becoming a fake elector, because it's clear to me, as I pointed out in the past, I'm a broken record on this. But the 14th Amendment, Section 2, says we, the electors, select the electors as the electorate, the voters. That's what it means in that context. Select the electorate. We vote for the candidate, and the candidate says we vote for the electors. We selected the electors for Joe Biden in that last election for Wisconsin. And for anybody to do otherwise, to usurp that, usurp those votes, after the United States Supreme Court and the state Supreme Court had actually said, no, Joe Biden won in Wisconsin, is fraud, pure and simple. Like it gets hammer home the point again and again and again. If you see any of those people on the street, you say you were a fraudster. Just say that right to their face. You are a fraudster. You committed fraud when you signed those documents. Pure and simple. It doesn't matter. A court of law does not need to decide this, because the prima facie evidence of this is that they committed fraud when they signed those documents.
Right. Excellent point, Mark. You're exactly right. And Trump's, or I should say Pence's role was purely ceremonial. And then Trump sicked his dogs on him. Trump said he should have done the right thing, which he had no authority to do. And he set Pence up for assassination. Pence escaped. And one reason why Pence is no longer on the stage of these debates is he didn't show any spine. You know, I mean, the average guy, another guy sets him up and says, hang him. He's not going to suck up to the guy. But Pence did that. And Pence did that, and he paid a price. But he had absolutely no authority. Right. Okay. Megan Wolf's impeachment, a slight new development. I'm going to tell you what it is, and then I'll tell you the background and where it goes from here. This Janelle Branchon, who's really bad news, she's from Menominee Falls, which is a suburb of Milwaukee. And she is now pressing Voss to get the impeachment on the floor, not just in committee, for a vote. And Voss is unwilling to do it for several reasons, not because he suddenly is overcome by a sense of democratic morality, but because, there's an injunction right now that she stays, Megan Wolf, pending further judicial developments, which trumps anything that Voss is doing. Number two, it would pass the Assembly, but I don't think it would pass the Senate. It has to pass the Senate, and it's going to require two-thirds. And they have two-thirds, but there's got to be at least one senator who says, are we going to impeach someone who is duly elected and committed no fraud and also committed no crime? We're just overturning the election. That's a good way, Jack, for not you getting reelected, even absolutely with all the gerrymandering. But here's the background. Then we're going to go to the lines. I see you in the lines. The people behind all this, there's a three days of full page ads, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and TV. The total buy was well over $100,000. Nobody knows where the money came from. The two principals were this Adam Steen and Harry Waite. They don't have two nickels to rub together, and they don't know where the money came from either. And these ads made a real bad picture of Megan Wolf, and then attacking Voss for not bringing it to the floor. Now, Steen is the guy who ran against Voss in 2022, and he only lost by 260 votes. And Adam Steen, I think, was 29 years old. No one ever heard of the guy. Had no credentials whatsoever. But Trump endorsed him and attacked Voss, because Voss wouldn't agree to be more prominent in overturning the election other than the sneaky business of the fake electors. The other guy is Harry Waite. He's presently charged with two felonies and two misdemeanors. Two felonies for misappropriating identifying information to get a ballot. He said he was Corey Mason, mayor of Racine, and he said he was Robin Voss, and he got their ballots. He got ballots for him. That's two felonies. And then two misdemeanors for election fraud. His trial's on March 19. And this is the guy that's supposed to be the paragon of what? Virtue? And this is why we should impeach somebody? And then Voss chickened out after the ads. He sent it to the Committee on Accountability and Oversight. And now Janelle Branchon is going after him. And a judge has said there's an injunction. Don't try to remove her until further judicial action. And now what they're trying to do is get Voss to test the issue of whether an impeachment trumps a judicial injunction. Spoiler alert, it does not. It does not. And Janet Protasiewicz has done nothing wrong. Megan Wolf. Janet is on my mind too, because that's another thing that they're doing. But Megan Wolf has done nothing wrong. She has no crimes, and she's done absolutely nothing corrupt, and they acknowledge that in the impeachment documents, because they don't say she's corrupt or that they say she mismanaged. Mismanagement is not an impeachable offense. This is a lay down. We're going to the lines in order. Do not hang up. Gina Beauclair, my friend, thanks for calling, Gene. What's in your mind today?
We need to get on the docket in our Constitution, impeachable offenses of these people that are in those elected offices. There has been no deterrence against any of the things that they've pulled on the people of the state of Wisconsin since Walker was in office and broke a bunch of laws and then destroyed our elections, Board of Elections, Ethics Board, messed up with our employment group, you know what I mean, workers' comp and that type of thing. I mean, he just totally broke down all of the defenses and protections for the people of the state of Wisconsin. And personally, I'm pretty sick of it. And I'm hoping I call the Attorney General's office politely and leave a message that I hope he's doing something, because I don't think that they can let us know if they're doing anything. But I want these guys investigated, and I want them held accountable, because what they did was totally outrageous and abuse of power and criminal. So thank you very much for taking my call, Matt, and you have a good weekend. Bye.
Yeah, thank you, Jean. Really appreciate it. Great call. Jack of Merrimack, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Jack?
Well, first of all, there's a new poll out that came out a couple of days ago, I think now. It says 51% of Wisconsinites want to wait another 10 years, basically, before we do the redistricting. I cannot believe that the majority of people in the state don't understand that we have a almost a two-thirds majority of our legislators and three-fourths of our House members that are the result of gerrymandered districts. And not only that, because of the gerrymandering, they're doing anything they darn well please, and there is absolutely no consequence at the voting booth for them. Unless we change this gerrymandering, it's going to continue on, and these guys will be in power for another 10 years. And what amazes me about that poll is that very clearly over half of the Wisconsinites don't approve of this system, because in every statewide election, excepting for, you know, things like the Ron Johnson's racist attacks on Mandela Barnes, the Republicans are losing those elections.
Right.
We've got to actually do this now. We changed those districts, and how people can't understand that, they obviously don't understand how the system works. That's the only thing.
Right, I'm with you 100%, Jack. Great call. I really appreciate it. Todd or Billy, my friend. Todd or Billy of Madison. You're next. What's your mind today, Todd or Billy?
Well, you know what Jack just said was really interesting, because I guess I'm thinking about the idea of leadership and, you know, whether our elected officials or, you know, folks on the Supreme Court are kind of ahead of or behind the public in terms of the move towards a more perfect union. I think I've often felt, you know, kind of, you know, thankful maybe sometimes that you know, it's not just a popularity contest, you know, to run the country. But it seems like recently the only time that good things are happening are when we do have direct democracy, with things like the ballot measures in Ohio recently, that we can't, you know, count on our timid Senate to get anything done, et cetera, that, man, we really need to get more direct democracy in our country. But then I think back to, you know, the Brown versus Board of Education era when, you know, our Supreme Court was really leading us forward as a country. It's a conundrum.
Yeah, that's an excellent call. And, you know, that's an age, you know, in New England, they used to have town square things and everybody in the town would show up and vote. Occasionally, you do need leadership. And the Supreme Court, Brown versus Board of Education, Baker v. Carr, Roe v. Wade was an example of that. But when you have a government that is frankly corrupt, and the Republican caucus is, then at some point you have to override it. So it's a yin and the yang, and it's an excellent way to present it the way you just did. Okay, coming up, what do a plumber, a maid, and a carpenter have in common? Coming up.
This is 93.5 The Tap. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Brittany, how many barometers do you own? It's a meteorologist thing.
Tell us the truth.
I've got 4 in my house right now.
That's not terrible.
I scaled down.
How many did you used to have?
I give them as gifts now.
Are you re-gifting me a barometer, Brittany?
We're down to 4. That sounds manageable.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Clearly, at this point, what is going on in Congress and the importance of the Speaker, that's always been a high-profile position, Sandy. Why can't we get that fixed?
The problem really comes down to the problem we have within the parties. Not only are we highly polarized between parties, but we seem to be highly polarized within party as well.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to 93.5, The Tap K.
Don't let me down.
Welcome back to Methlin Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, what do a maid, a plumber, and a carpenter have in common? They are all going to be testifying in Trump's Mar-a-Lago case on the secret documents that he stole and that he exposed so that Russia, China, and many of our other enemies have free access to it. And why are they going to testify? They're going to testify because this is the word on Jack Smith's trial prep. You know, that trial is supposed to start in May. Eileen Mercedes Cannon, who is Trump's poodle, she's in his hip pocket, is desperately looking for ways to postpone it till after the election. And I am afraid that that is something that she's planning to do. So stand by on that one. But whenever it is, Jack Smith is going to put on the stand people who work there. A plumber, he used to go in and in the bathroom where these things were kept and do work on the pipes. The maid who cleaned Trump's office, and a carpenter, they call him a woodworker. You know, he put some molding up around the room in his office. And it was very poignant testimony because some of it was leaked. You know, they've already been interviewed. As far as I'm concerned, maybe they've already been deposed. But the guy, now this is just a good working guy, carpenter, and he goes in and he says, you know, I saw all this stuff lying around, and I kept thinking, I shouldn't be looking at this. This is wrong. And then it was either he or the plumber said, which is really poignant, but then I realized it was probably some props from a movie set. You know, when juries hear testimony like that, it resonates. It's very, very graphic. You know, there are 2 examples I'll give you from trial lore. And this goes more towards why you shouldn't ask the last question. If you're cross-examining somebody, keep it simple and short. And don't let honest people testify, you know, if they're going to testify, let them testify, but don't somehow open the door. And here's an example. There was a case where, and I was not involved in this case. I'll give you a case with Abraham Lincoln. There's a case where there was a lot of mold in the house, a lot of rain and water, and the insurance company didn't want to pay. So there was a trial. And the lawyer for the insurance company said to the witness, well, how could you tell that this humidity and water was really causing real damage? And she said, because I saw a mushroom growing on the sofa. And that shuts it down. That's it. Insurance company's toast. There's another one, a murder case. Allegedly, Abraham Lincoln was involved in this one. I personally doubt it. He was a lawyer, but he did a lot of work for companies and all that. And he did try some criminal cases, but not a lot of them. But in this one, guy was being charged with what's called mayhem. You've seen M-A-Y-H-E-M. That means removing a body part from somebody. And there was a fight, and one guy bit the other guy's nose off, and he was accused of mayhem. So he goes to trial, and there's one witness to it, and his lawyer thought he was being really cool and smart. And he goes, all right, how many feet standing away were you? The guy said, oh, about 100 feet. And he said, I've looked at the weather. Apparently, it was quite dark that night because there was not much of a moon, and there were clouds in the sky. And the witness said, yeah, that's right. And so the lawyer was foolish enough to ask the next question. And he said, so how could you tell he bit his nose off? And the witness said, because I saw him spit it out. That's it. That's it. Jury doesn't need any more. That's why you have a plumber, a maid, and a carpenter were very honest and hardworking up there on the stand. Because Jack Smith will say, what did you see? And they'll say, well, we saw these documents and we didn't think we should be looking at them. And then, what did you think? And one of them has already said, I thought it was a movie prop, you know, or TV prop, because, you know, Trump's a big guy. He's a fancy guy, been on TV, probably been in the movies for all this guy knew. But you leave these documents around, and this is the serious part of this. And people who are there to fix the plumbing, clean the room, or put up molding are looking at all this. And the other facts that Jack Smith has, here's a couple of examples. He talks to this Australian billionaire. And I got to say something. It is a felony for an Australian to give money in an American campaign. It's a felony for anybody who is not an American citizen to give money. So this Australian billionaire, unless he's an American citizen too, maybe he is, I don't know. Trump is wooing him. He only woos him for money. Trump's only after the money. He tells him the secrets of our nuclear submarines, which are the most important part of our nuclear triad. He tells them how many people are on them, from which the Russians and Chinese can deduce what their functions are. And he also can tell them how close they can get to a Russian or Chinese submarine without being detected by sonar or anything else. That is highly, highly classified. And this Australian clown shared it with about 40 people, including media. Do you think that China and Russia don't know it now? Do you think they don't know it now? Do you think they're not going to try to reverse engineer that? But more importantly, it'll change their battle tactics. It'll change their battle tactics. Donald Trump betrayed the United States many, many times over. And now a maid, a plumber, and a carpenter are going to give righteous testimony. Coming to the end of the show, it was a great show. Everybody have a great weekend out there. Stand by for another great show. Diamond Crew, Devil's Advocate. Matt Flynn, Direct, will be back same time, same place on Monday. I'm signing off for today.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. The Todd Alba Show.
I had tweeted out after the second game of the year, a hot take. I said, by the end of the year, we will see Braden Locke as the starting quarterback of the Wisconsin Badgers. Now, Mr. Mordecai broke his hand. And by golly, not the way I thought it would happen, but Braden Locke has become the starting quarterback.
And another finger on the monkey's paw curls.
Where did you get that one?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire, and streaming every